This is a Studio B production.
Come one, come all to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
Welcome to Talk Music to Me, episode 15. I can count. The website is talkmusictomeslc.com. If you want to send us an email, send it over to talkmusictomeslc. Whoa. Sorry, I had the playlist going. send your emails to talkmusictomeslc@gmail.com. We're back, and we have had a very eventful couple months. Most of which we are going to talk about in future episodes, including the Flogging Molly cruise.
Salty Dog cruise.
The Salty Dog cruise.
Okay, you guys, the boat will change you. I'm just telling you now. It will change your entire life.
We're going to do, I guess, almost a full episode on it, probably.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, we don't want to bore people. I mean, you and I could talk about it for hours. But we don't want to bore people, so we'll do a good review of it.
Yeah.
It'll be a good, thorough review, the good, the bad.
Oh, absolutely.
And everything in between, the drunk.
The drunk, the songs, Guinness. The music, the musicians.
It was a great time, and we will talk about that probably on the next episode, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
But we have a big, big show. We have Nick Passy, who is, if you're local, you've definitely heard of his band, Folk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
They play locally. They're like a folk punk band.
And they're awesome. I mean, they're absolutely
fabulous. They're amazing. They're great. And Nick has just released a solo record, which is outstanding, by the way.
Not to mention that it's turquoise on vinyl, which you know how
That's
I
true.
Feel about that.
That's true. You love turquoise.
I really do.
And so he was nice enough to join us. This was a while ago, though. Many, many apologies to him because...
I know.
This, you know, I'm not known for my promptness in getting interviews up.
Well, and then we were gone, and then there was a lot of traveling and stuff.
This one was especially bad, though.
It was.
This one, a lot of things kind of came up right after... we did the interview, and so many, many apologies to him. He's got some great events coming up, though. Check him out. We're gonna have all the links over at the website, Talk Music to Me SLC, in the show notes for episode 15. So talkmusictomeslc.com. Check it out. Links to the record, to his website, to all the stuff he's doing. Before we get into the interview, though, let's talk about what we've been listening to lately.
Oh, absolutely. And you guys, my apologies. I have a cold. And so I am sniffling something fierce.
Oh, it's all good.
And also, I just realized that I told you the songs, but I didn't write them down because I'm...
That's all good. I got them right here.
Duly prepared. Why don't you start us off, and then I'll take the back.
Okay. You want me to start us off?
Totally.
Okay. So Red City Radio, one of our favorites, if you've been listening to the show for a while, released a new EP that is outstanding. And this song is off that. It's called In the Shadows. And these guys just, there's something about them that just kind of connects. It connects.
Oh,
and
this song
is not even their most upbeat song. It's more mellow, as you can hear, but there's just something about these guys that really, I don't know, I connect with them. I kind of relate to them for some reason.
Yeah. And we fell in love with them when they played live, and then they were even better.
Who did they open for? We've talked about it before on the show, but I can't remember who they opened for.
I can't remember either.
I want to say Less Than Jake or something like that.
Was it?
It may have been.
Because was it the Pepper?
It may have been.
Show?
It may have been. I don't know.
All I know is that I really love the t-shirts we got, too.
Yeah.
They're like the softest, most beautiful. So good.
Garrett Dale's voice is incredible. So
I have a crush on his voice.
Yeah, for real. So this is a great... sorry, I'm trying to go to the record to find out the name of it. This is a great EP. It's called Sky Tigers.
It's so good.
Just came out a couple months ago. Definitely go check it out.
This is what I listen to at work when I need to be happy.
Yeah. Automatic. Even though it's kind of bummer sounding, it puts me in a good mood every time I hear it.
I was going to say, I'm still dancing to it.
Yeah.
Even when I have a cold, I'm still dancing to it.
Yes, you are. okay, let's move on. So the next one is a cover. It's a cover of a Dead Milkman song.
I love the Dead Milkman.
Dead Milkman are great. But I actually like this cover more than the original. I hate to
what?
Say it. I know, I hate to say it.
Okay, prove it to me. Let's hear it.
This is Diesel Boy.
Oh, I love Diesel Boy.
And it's Punk Rock Girl.
Oh, I love this
song. Even though they changed the lyrics, I kind of like the lyrics better, too.
People used to sing this to me when I was in high school because I was a punk rock girl.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, Dead Milkmen, I love them.
Yeah, it's a little bit faster.
Punk rock girl.
Different words, but this is a classic. I just love Diesel Boy. I wish they were still putting out music.
I love Diesel Boy.
I want to say early 2000s, last time they put out a record.
It takes me back.
Okay. Next one. I know we wanted to... I'm actually blowing through these, aren't I?
I know.
Usually I go on and on and on.
I know. Look at you.
I'm blowing through them, though. This next one, I sent this to you today. Mm-hmm. It's Flogging Molly. And I know we were going to try and put them towards... the next episode.
It's okay. There's tons of Flogging Molly songs.
Holy shit, man. This song is so good. This is one of the greatest songs ever written. I'm convinced of it. Just that opening drum beat.
And I'm sorry, if you have not listened to Flogging Molly, there is no way that you cannot smile and start dancing when flogging. I mean, come on.
It's happy music. This song's called Within a Mile of Home. Off the record, Within a Mile of Home.
And I'm sorry, but they're just the nicest guys. And they have been for probably 20 plus years. They're just... the nicest
guys.
I'm
trying to think when they...
I don't know. I met them at Warped Tour going on 18 years ago.
Matt Hensley, right?
What's his name?
Matt Hensley.
Is it Hensley?
From the Bunny Gang?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I met him.
And Dennis Casey?
Yeah, it was funny because...
we met them again, by the way.
Yeah. Well, no, it was funny because it's going on 18 years ago. I went to Warped Tour and listened to this band and thought they were pretty cool, so I went over to their booth. And Matt pulled me into the booth and was like, let's take a picture. And I'm being a complete shit in it because I was 17. And I'm like, I don't know this guy. And then on the boat, I was
like... he probably wasn't that much older because I think he joined this band when he was 17.
He was a young guy. Yeah. And my friend who's in the picture had the biggest crush on him. It was so funny because I was like, well, she likes you. And I'm like, such a shit. But he's like the nicest human. And we met him on the boat. And I'm like, I have a picture of you from forever ago. And I found it, and it made me happy because my hair's kind of the same again.
We should post that.
I did. I put it on the Talk Music to Me Instagram.
Well, let's put it on the website, too. Send that to me.
Yeah, I'll put it on the website. It's so funny.
We'll put it on the website, and we'll, yeah.
I'm a blonde-haired little punk rocker on it.
Instagram. What is the Instagram?
Let me tell you. I will tell you.
Talk Music, SLC,
you guys,
or
I put
like
too
that.
Many memes. If there's memes, it's me. I'm just telling you guys now. But Flogging Molly, I love you.
Okay. One more boat band, sorry.
The Instagram is Talk Music to Me SLC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give us a follow. Another boat band, but this is a band that I've loved my whole life, pretty much. Ever since I was a teenager. This is the band that really, really, really got me into punk rock.
Uh-huh.
Like, I discovered it through, you know, Offspring and Green Day, but then I found the Vandals. And the Vandals became my band. They were my fucking band.
You guys.
And every word of every song they've ever written, even the obscure, weird ones.
I saw it in person, but the world did not exist when the Vandals were playing.
No, they played twice. We saw them both times. They were amazing.
Literally, the world did not exist. I'm not kidding. People were talking to him. Nothing existed while
the Vandals were playing.
No, it was the cutest thing I've ever seen. No, I think it's great.
This is a song called... It's off of Live Fast Diarrhea. It's called And Now We Dance.
Do you know what I love the most about the Vandals? The titles of the songs and
the
albums.
They're amazing.
How can you not laugh?
This is one of their less fun songs. It's one of the more more hardcore songs.
How can you not love the Vandals?
This is their best record, though. Everyone tries to say Hitler Bad, Vandals Good is their best record. Fuck you. No, it's not. Live Fast Diarrhea is by far the best album they ever put out.
Came out in
1995.
1995, and they're still rocking it and hysterical. Oh my God,
they're still
so
funny. They're still
funny.
As funny as a million years ago.
I know, they're amazing.
Okay, let's move on. This is a band called Turbo Negro.
Ooh.
I don't know how I found them, but I really like this song. It's called All My Friends Are Dead. This is a band I've heard of for a long time, but I've never actually listened to them. So I found this song, and I'm like, this is everything I love. It's like a little bit harder edge. It's kind of creepy.
It's like if you take a horror movie and mix it with punk rock.
Yeah, which is my favorite shit.
Uh-huh.
Only not quite as good as The Misfits.
Alan, nothing's as good as...
It's a little bit more poppy, too. So a lot of fun. A lot of fun. All right. Should we move on to yours? I have your list right here.
Well, wait. I want to say something about that band. That sounds a lot like something I would have gone to at Kilby Court or one of the other, like In the Venue or Lo-Fi back in the day. That's a really fun song.
Yeah, they almost sound a little bit like Teenage Bottle Rocket, which you actually have a song.
I know, I love. Okay, so who are we starting with?
All right, we'll start with the Menzingers. However the hell you want to pronounce it.
I say Menzingers just because it sounds funny.
I've heard this band Menzingers pronounced a million different ways. This is often a split EP with the Bouncing Souls.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing. But this is the Shakes.
And this is the song that we had a big drinking night and you sent it to me the day after and it was perfect.
Well, on our vacation, we drank a lot every day.
Uh-huh.
And came home and it was a boost. Like I had the shakes trying to uh-huh. You know, I like became an instant alcoholic.
It was an adjustment, but yeah. It was, you know what? But I'm going to point something out. 3 days of drinking, we did not pass out.
Well, we had a couple days in Miami afterwards, too.
Yeah, we did not throw up.
That's true.
Nothing bad happened.
And we'll talk all about that.
Yeah. Baby.
These guys are currently on tour with Frank Turner. The Frank Turner Show here in Salt Lake got canceled.
Guys.
Which really sucks.
I'm really sad about that.
The Menzingers and Lucero are still going to play at Metro.
That was at least a nice...
Well, you're more excited about the Menzingers.
I know, because I love Frank Turner, but I love him and he hurts me at the same time.
Oh, whatever. You love that new record.
Because it's all positive. If you guys haven't listened to your record, it's like, it's such... And you know me, I'm Miss Positive. I'm all about the positivity. But Menzingers just, they hold a very special place in my heart and I've never seen them. So I'm funny, so excited.
It's funny that Frank Turner wrecks you because... These guys only write like horrible, depressing songs.
For some reason, Frank Turner, the moment he starts talking, I focus on his words.
Well, you know
why? I don't generally do that.
He doesn't. And we talked about this in the last episode, which is all about Frank Turner.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know subtlety.
No.
He has no he's not capable of being subtle or writing like metaphors that aren't about water.
I'm just laughing because I'm not subtle either. So maybe that's why I connect with him.
Well, no, it's great. But it's also sometimes I'm like, oh, man, it's on the nose. Like it's really that new song about his girlfriend on the new album. It's just so on the nose. Like there's a way to write a love song that's not so cringy. You know?
Well, it's just the way he writes things. Alan knows. I tend to listen to the music more than I listen to the lyrics because I'm listening to the separation.
Yeah,
between,
see, I'm more about the lyrics.
Yeah, and I tend to kind of separate and listen to either the drums or I'm listening to the guitar or the bass. Not always do I listen to the lyrics. And Frank Turner is one of the people that I listen to the lyrics. Something with the Menzingers, I just tend to, the sound is just happy to me. So I don't listen to the words as much.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Of the Impossible Past, I think that's the name of one of their albums.
Uh-huh.
It's my favorite one they've ever done. It is just...
Is it painful? I need to read the lyrics and see what I'm singing.
The chorus of the first song is, "Why do all good things fall apart?" And it's just over and over and over.
Well, what's the one that you got me introduced to that I absolutely love?
It's the new one. It's the one with Bad Catholics on it. I can't remember what. After the Party.
After the Party.
Yeah.
I love that one because there were so many like mornings when it just started getting sunny again. And I had just hung out with you and I was listening to that on my way home. So I associate it with you. And I associate it with happy. So, like, to me, the Menzingers are happy, even if it's sad lyrics, because to me, it was happy times when I listened to it.
It's pretty funny because it's just not happy.
I just love them. I can't, and there's something about the voice and just like the way that it's set up. It almost reminds me of, it reminds me of a band that I can't think of right now, but they kind of almost seem like a little bit older school to me, mixed with punk rock.
The Clash
mixed with punk.
A little
rock.
Bit, yeah. Little,
that's
yeah,
what they
there's
remind
a clash
me of.
In there. They're much different than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Much, much, much different than they used to be. The one that the record that I got into them on was A Lesson in the Abuse of Information Technology.
Play it. Is there a song?
Let's see. I'm just going to play the first song.
Off the cuff.
Let's see. And this song is called Alpha Call. Alpha Ka fall off a balcony. it's much different.
I saw you lying off. Still like it.
It's good.
Still like
wait
it.
Till you get to the rap part.
There's rap?
Yeah, there's like a rap part.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet I'm still gonna like it.
You will. It's good. It's not like Limp Bizkit. Here
you
it is.
Played this before. Yeah, I still.
And
like
this is all political.
So why are we not playing this lately?
Yeah, right.
I dig it.
Yeah, it's good. It's
oh
good.
My god, I'm gonna have to like.
But much different, right?
Yeah, but I like it.
Yeah, this is the one that got me into them. So as they progressed, like more and more to, I don't know what you call it. Not emo. It's kind of emo.
Yeah, it's
more
kinda,
emo-ish. Like it's been
melodic.
A little bit of a struggle with me.
Yeah, I don't. You know, these days I don't know what to term things anymore.
Although,
but
I don't want to be an asshole
melodic
anymore.
Melodic punk rock, is that what it is?
I wouldn't even call it punk rock anymore.
Melodic?
I don't think it's punk at all.
Melodic.
I don't know what it is.
I don't even know.
I don't know. It's something that if I would just come into it,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't like it.
Uh-huh.
But I do like it because I kind of followed their trajectory. But it's been a struggle for me, for sure.
Yeah.
But I Don't Want to Be an Asshole Anymore is a great song.
Oh, I love that song. And you know what? Sometimes I listen to that song when I'm having a really bad day and I'm in a really shitty mood. And I'll listen to it to remind myself that it's not fun being an asshole. So maybe I shouldn't. So
it's fun when you're by yourself. But when the asshole comes out on other people, then you get blowback. It's not so much fun.
It's not so much fun, no.
Okay.
Okay, what was next?
Another boat band, Mad Caddies.
Mad Caddies! Okay, how excited am I about Mad Caddies?
You fucking love the Mad Caddies.
And we'll tell the story about how it was raining and the boat was rocking and I was dancing my ass off. But so they covered an old Green Day song, which I love.
Yeah, when you told me. She screams inside. It's already a million times better than the Green Day song.
How can you not love the Mad Caddies?
They're great.
Oh.
Is this whole album covers?
This is just a new release that just came out right when we got back from the boat. It's been on my playlist so much.
I think their next album is going to be all covers.
Doesn't this make you want to have like a fancy cocktail and be on a beach somewhere?
Goddamn right.
Are you feeling like a social tool without a hand? I'm sorry. Mad Caddies, I love you so much.
They're so much fun.
They make me so happy because, I mean, they're so well put together. I mean, listen to how smooth that is. Like, it almost reminds me of, like, the best tiki band that you've ever seen in your life.
It's reggae with... It's reggae. But they almost don't belong in the scene that they're in because they're almost too talented to be a punk band.
Oh, they're so good. They're just so good. And his voice is so unique to me.
Yeah.
And it's so smooth. Yeah. How has he not destroyed it? That's my question.
Smart. He's a smart guy.
Because they've been around for forever. But when they release this, I'm like, oh my God, it's old school Green Day, which is my total jam. This makes me so happy. I mean, it's so pretty. Okay, what's...
It is. All right. Okay. Interrupters.
Interrupters. So, you know...
By My Side is the name of the song.
I have a girl crush on the lead singer, I'm just telling you now. She's such a badass.
She is.
And didn't they play at the Rancid show? Didn't they open at the Rancid show? Am I thinking someone else?
No, I think someone else opened for them, but I think whoever's playing keyboards, I think, is in the Interrupters.
Oh, that's what it was.
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Okay, because she sounds, to me, she's like the female version of kind of Rancid.
Yeah, it's a very Hellcat Records band.
Yeah.
Every band that's ever been on Hellcat Records sounded like this at one point, including the Dropkick Murphys.
I don't want to die. I don't want to die. But
if I do die, I know you'll be by my side. Nice.
If I could skank right now, I would. This reminds me of old school Warped Tour when it was so good back in the day, when you were just every single fucking band was good.
This is their best album, by the way. Say It Out Loud.
Say It Out Loud. It's so good. It's so, so good. So I've been listening to a lot of Interrupters, and she's just such a badass. I follow them on Instagram, and they're just so fucking cool.
Yeah.
So I hope they come here. I really, really do.
They got some ska in here.
They do.
You do.
Oh, I do. Yes, I do. I can't help myself. I love it.
All right, next one, Teenage Bottle Rocket.
Yes, I love it.
Don't Go.
This has been... Oh, I wake up singing this sometimes. It's kind of my emo side.
Have you ever listened to Masked Intruder?
I don't know, maybe.
You would love them.
Oh, no, then. Oh, I thought it was a song. No, I haven't listened to them.
You would love them. They sound a lot like these guys.
Masked Intruder?
Their whole shtick is that they...
Oh, they're there.
They all wear ski masks because... The whole shtick is like they're criminals.
Uh-huh.
That's Masked Intruder.
I mean, this this reminds me of, you remember when they used to give out the compilations, the Atticus compilations at Warped Tour?
Yeah.
And then I used to rep for an amazing label called, oh shit, now I can't remember, Suburban Home Records. And Suburban Home Records, their compilations were by far some of the best. And this band really reminds me of something that would have been on there.
This is a cover. This whole album is a covers record.
Really?
I don't know who this is a cover of.
I don't know, but it's great. I wake up singing it, and I love it.
The album's called Stealing the Covers.
Stealing the Covers. I love that. No, this is just it's become one of my favorites. And it's such a simple song, but I just love it. It just kind of harkens back to the good times. You know what I mean? Like
the good old days.
Yeah.
Where shit get all messed up.
Yeah, but it's also like being a little bit older. Like you think about people that you don't get to see as much as you'd like to. And,
right.
And it kind of, that's where it kind of touches my little heart is I'm like, no, I don't like when people go.
You don't like when people go?
I don't go.
Don't go.
Don't go.
Okay. Should we move on?
Yes.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for hanging in there.
Yeah.
We did talk to Nick Passy. It was a long time ago, so if we have references to Christmas or Easter or maybe 1994, you'll understand why.
Well, and I just want to say, like, Nick is just one of the nicest humans you will ever meet. Please go to one of his shows. Go to a Phil Colgan show. Go to a Nick Passy show. He's an amazing human. We both bought his t-shirt, and we got stickers that are currently on our water bottles that are sitting in front of us. And I'm sorry, but they're awesome. Like, it's one of my favorite t-shirts, and it's one of my favorite vinyls because it's turquoise. Yeah,
My sticker right there on the water bottle. You know what I love?
And I wore that t-shirt to the Face-to-Face show, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, no, just kidding. I wore an Alkaline Trio. It was another show. But
do you know what I love about Nick?
Huh?
He is the definition... The definition of do-it-yourself.
I know, he's
and
amazing.
you'll find it out in the interview. But he makes his own shirts, like makes them.
Yeah.
He makes his own buttons.
Yeah.
He does all the promotion for Folk Hogan and for him. Like, this dude is a one-man wrecking crew when it comes to being in a band and doing the band lifestyle.
By the way, Nick, I still want to come over and make buttons with you and maybe cook with you. If you guys follow him on Instagram, let me look it up really quick. He posts
Chips
a lot.
Passy. I think it's at Chips Passy. We'll have it all over in the show notes for episode 15.
He cooks a lot, and I'm seriously drooling when I'm looking at my Instagram. He's just an amazing human, and I really, really, really enjoy him.
He was very, very nice, wonderful to us, very sweet, and very patient with us as we had a million things come up.
Like, cool as a cucumber, man. He's chill, man.
Yeah, super nice guy. He's got a lot of events coming up. Again, we'll post that all over on the show notes. For episode 15 of Talk Music to Me over at talkmusictomeslc.com. Here's our interview with Nick Passy. Nick Passy plays guitar for Folk Hogan. He's also a solo artist whose debut EP is one of the best releases I have heard this year. I'm not bullshitting you. I love it. Nick, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Good. Great. Doing well.
Obviously, people know you from Folk Hogan, and you've been doing that for a while. So, you know, I like to kind of just kind of gauge where you guys as a band are at right now. I know the last release, I think, was in 2015. Is there anything in the works?
Yeah, we actually go into the studio tomorrow for scratch tracks for a third album.
Very cool.
And there's going to be either 9 or 10 songs on that. And we're working with Full Fidelity Recording Studio.
And where's that at?
And that's located right under Murray Day Music off State Street in Murray.
Oh, cool.
Never heard of it. That's awesome.
Have you recorded with them before?
Yeah, that's actually where with Steve Phillips and my drummer for Folk Hogan, Curtis Stahl, work. Steve is the studio owner.
See, and you have Curtis an in then.
Curtis is like the second in command. And I also, that's where I recorded the solo album. And the two previous records that we did, we recorded with Brad McCarley. But he's he's moved across the country.
Where did he move to?
And currently isn't recording bands. I'm blanking out. I'm drawing a blank.
He gave it up, huh? He's had enough.
River City.
Is that Maryland or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I can't believe I pulled that out of my ass.
He's in that area.
Nice.
I'm impressed, though.
Yeah. I don't know how I knew that River City was in Maryland, but somehow. So what's it like, you know, you working with someone new? Did it, well, I guess you guys are going to be going into it, so you haven't really started, but are you anticipating any differences in the sound?
Absolutely. So one of the reasons that I like working with Steve is that he sits down and picks a color palette. He picks a mood. He picks a sound profile for what the album is going to be. And there are a lot of small studios that capture everything and then mix it after the fact, but if without that critical planning step, you may not be recording the right things or the right way. So one of the things that we felt in the Folk Hogan tracks that's really going to make this album a little bit different, a little bit heavier, is that we feel like live we've got a lot more of a heavy guitar and bass and drums, punk kind of sound, where the albums come off a little bit more bluegrassy or a little bit more folky.
Mm-hmm.
And partially because of the way that we've recorded it mixed. And, you know, I'm not unhappy with either of those records, but I just think sitting down with him and after we put the scratch tracks on record, then actually talking about each individual song and how we want that to feel and how we want that to sound before recording any of the final tracks will really, really help us out.
You know, that brings up a good question. You know, I'm not a musician, so I'm always interested in getting perspectives on the recording process. As someone who is a recording artist, are you, when you're in the studio, are you trying to capture that live sound?
You know, for me, I'm trying to, yeah, in a lot of ways, yes. With Folk Hogan, we're trying to capture that live sound. And with the solo stuff, it's kind of the opposite. I'm kind of creating that sound in the studio. And then trying to perform that live.
Yeah. Well, then I have a question for you. Yeah. When it comes to, because how many members are in the band again for Folk Hogan?
Six of us.
Six of you? And do you feel like it's a collaborative? Like, does everybody kind of have their input when you guys go into recording? Or is it kind of led by certain members?
Everybody gets their input. We're very, very much able to affect the final output that way.
Very cool.
Some bands, it's one person that does everything, and mm-hmm. what they say goes, and that's not really the case for Folk Hogan. It's all of us putting in our own efforts, and that affects the writing process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can bring a song to the band.
Which is, I love that.
And mostly completed, and we kind of finish it together as a band and write our own individual parts. But many, many of the other musicians in the band play guitar. So there's been times where they're like, hey, this is the guitar part that I wrote for this. You know, at least learn it before you change it.
Do you feel like, because it's more collaborative, that it brings you guys together as a band family? Like a little bit closer, just because everybody's got their input?
I think it helps people stay interested long term.
Mm-hmm.
Last night we just celebrated our 7th year anniversary as a band.
Oh,
at
cool!
The garage on Beck Street.
Which that's quite the accomplishment.
I can't imagine. I don't have any statistics, but I can't imagine most bands make it that long.
Yeah.
Especially when it's so collaborative. I would imagine their heads butted a lot in most bands. So that's quite the achievement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You'll have to do something like epic for a decade.
Yeah, start planning it now.
Yeah.
So, but you know that's a good question. Is the band dynamic is because you see a lot of people who are in bands go do the solo thing. Is there something about the band dynamic that makes you kind of want to just do your own thing and have sole creative control? Or is I guess you have a band now playing with you, right? For your solo stuff.
For the solo stuff, most gigs are just me and a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally I will add a drummer. And for a few festival type gigs, I'll have either 3 or 4 members. But mainly, the initial appeal, at least, was to just kind of have something that is just mine. And, you know, it's at times it's been very rewarding. At times it's been very humbling because starting over and not having that momentum of 6 people with 6 different ideas working on a common goal, when it's just you, you're it. I mean, I know that sounds very self-explanatory, but it's one person calling all the shots, making the merch, booking the shows, planning the budget, doing everything that goes, transportation, everything that goes into the band, where, you know, 6 of us have the ability to make certain things happen a lot faster.
Yeah.
Well, and plus you're putting yourself out there. You are totally, I mean, this is just you. If you feel a track falls flat live or something, it's on you, you know, like it's, you can't say, oh, well, I didn't write that song type of thing. So I think it's it takes a lot of courage to do that and to branch out like that. Cause you know, everyone wants to express themselves creatively, but it's pretty damn scary, man. You get out there and it's like, oh man, I really screwed that one up, or I'm scared I'm going to screw it up type of thing. But at least for this first EP, I've been listening to it digitally. And like I told you off mic, I can't stop listening to it, man. It is incredible. Maybe, you know, I was reading on your website the story behind it. Maybe you can kind of give a quick recap of how it came to be.
Yeah. So, yes, it is on you when a track falls flat live. And I know that's not the question you asked. I'll get to it.
No, you're good. You're good. I kind of strung together a lot of thoughts there.
I think that was a thing that you said in the form of the question there that's important to address. If you're going to do something musically, or you're going to present your art, you're not just going to be locked in the basement or whatever doing it for yourself. Or you're starting a bakery or doing anything entrepreneurial. You get really, really comfortable with the idea of failure very quickly, because you'll encounter a lot of it. And it's not something that's very commonly talked about, but there's a really, really cheesy quote that I'm going to botch. Make it even cheesier. It's like, not like, oh, Abe Lincoln said this. It's like, the character on the TV show said this. It's from the main character on the show Suits. Something about, everyone wants to congratulate a pregnant woman, but no one realizes how many times she got fucked along the way. So pretty much, you know, people really want to award the success, but there's a lot of failure that goes leading towards that. And it's a little bit of an elementary idea that is very, very real in the real world. Okay, back to the actual question. which was, again, I've lost track. What was that again?
It was about the story behind the EP and how it came to be.
Okay. Well, I was ending a long-term relationship and found myself recently single, and I just had a lot of time to fill, and things necessarily weren't slowing down in my life, but I just had a lot of time that I was dedicating towards other things that I was now dedicating towards music, and I thought it would be a really good time to write some songs. And the way that this kind of all came to be was I was playing at the Green Pig with Hulk Hogan one Saturday or Friday night, and my buddy Jeff Dillon, that is a singer-songwriter from Salt Lake, I just joined him at the State Room Thursday. He was opening up for Gil Landry, which is in the band Old Crow Medicine Show, or formerly in the band Old Crow Medicine Show.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
And doing his singer-songwriter folk kind of stuff. And he came up to me and he said, "Do you want to go on tour with me in April?" And I think it was January, February-ish time, maybe February. And I was like, "Yeah, sure. You know, what do you need? Do you need somebody to drive the van?" Because at this point, I'd been making his buttons. I'm a button maker. I make pinback buttons.
I follow your Instagram account, and I geek out a lot, by the way.
Yeah, and I made a ton of pins for bands that you'd know and podcasts that you'd know. You know, including Chris Hollifield from the I Am Salt Lake podcast, and Jess and the rest of the New Utah podcast. He's like, "No, dumbass, like you and your guitar and me and my guitar are going to go hit the road and go on tour." And I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it. Why not?" I mean, I was hesitant at first, but I was just like, "Yeah."
Okay.
And kind of woke up the next morning and thought about this semi-drunk conversation that we had had. And
the best conversation.
Okay, well, if we're going to do this, I need to have something to sell. I don't really believe it's worth going out. Merch is really, really important to me. In fact, if anyone's listening to this and they're interested in band merch, their band, you can hit me up. I have a private Facebook group for band merch.
Well, that's awesome.
It's always been, you know, one of my favorite things. And you know, I'm going to need to create some stuff to sell. And you know, obviously, the focal point of a tour would be an album most of the time. And so, okay, I've got to get this album recorded, and I've got to get it done and ready by April 21st is the date that we were looking at starting this. And then it occurred to me, oh, I've got to book some studio time. And then working backwards even further, oh, I've got to actually write some songs.
Oops. Oh, the songs.
The songs, yes. And kind of flying by the seat of my pants, doing everything the opposite of how I counsel bands to do. We booked a tour and started selling tickets for the CD kickoff show in Salt Lake, which we did at the Acoustic Space. It's over there by I get the 2G Gateway Mall.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the perimeter, the west perimeter of the Gateway Mall. Great room for singer-songwriters or groups, because the capacity is like 100 people in there.
Wow.
I've never been there either.
I know, I have it written down and circled. I'm like, I must go here.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of doing the more intimate, higher end experience. all the way down to, you know, basic necessities that you may not find at all venues. Like, there's toilet paper.
No way! My God, do the toilets actually work? Because that would also be impressive.
For some of us that spend a lot of evenings at Bert's Tiki Lounge, that's a novel concept.
Yeah, a little bit different. But,
So we started selling tickets, and I finished the record. I ended up having them printed locally by a place that was able to get me them in about 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Which CDs
that's
are
really
pretty
fast.
Easy to make, because about anybody has the ability to do that. But even professionally printed, you're usually looking at, 2 to 4 weeks. And, I ordered 100 copies of that CD and we made tour posters and buttons and stickers and t-shirts.
All of our favorite things.
I know.
We had all the swag ready to go, and we had them in the different packs. And I had some acquaintances that weren't necessarily close friends run the merch that night, so that those that had kind of put all the effort in it with me and supported along the way could actually enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you can't enjoy a show when you're doing merch, but
well, you're working.
I wasn't going to have my girlfriend at the time that wanted to just help out and do everything do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty great. We sold out that room, and that really helped fund the tour in itself, because leaving that night, we had enough to cover our gas money for the 10 days that we'd be gone.
Mm-hmm. Which is huge when you're on tour.
We're playing a lot of DIY punk spaces. And there are a few in Salt Lake. The Beehive, that used to be Bar Deluxe on 666 South State, and the Underground, which is located inside of downtown Music, 836 Main, are two local DIY kind of punk spaces that we have. And Ford is definitely in that loop of all ages venues. And some of those places can be the most awesome to play as an audience, or fairly unknown. I kept making a joke about being regionally famous, because I live right in the heart of downtown, and I go out a lot. I go to restaurants, I go to bars, and just because, the whole small lake city thing.
Yeah.
And it's true too.
Run into people that I know.
And you know what?
Along the way.
I'm also a fellow downtowner, and everyone knows that summer is sort of my season, because I go down to the farmer's market. I have all my usual stops, and I know all my people.
Yep.
And it's all along the way. And, I do have to geek out for a second, because I have to admit, I chased Nick down because I was like so excited. I was like, we've got to get him on the show, because I am a farmer's market girl and I go all the time. And when Folk Hogan would play, I'd make sure I was there. I'd get all my food from the vendors and then I'd go sit and watch you guys play. And you guys are awesome. And then
that's a fun show.
Yeah, it's really fun. And then I went to the Urban Festival. It was the Urban Arts Festival that was at the Gateway, and you were playing solo. And
Made in Utah Festival.
Oh, Made in Utah, that's what it was. And I was walking by, I had all my fun stuff that I just bought, and you were playing, and I don't remember, you're like, I'm going to sing a song about beards. And it was the most amazing, hysterical thing. And I'd already been walking everywhere, and I just wanted to get home. I ended up sitting and like listening to you for about an hour, and it was awesome. And so I geeked out, and then I go to Retro Betty, and you do the buttons, and your buttons were in the sloth section. And I went up to the owner, and I was like, oh my God, these buttons, are these by Nick? And she was like, I love him.
Amanda is one of these treasures of Salt Lake that curates.
Oh, she is.
She goes all over conventions and things to pick out all of the unique items and display everything in her store. And she's got everything by interest sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're interested in sloth, there's a sloth section that will have, you know, my sloth pins, but also sloth notebooks, you know, this or that or whatever.
They have a wallet that I'm still like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get that wallet. I go in to just check things out at Retro Betty, and I end up sitting and talking to Amanda for like a good hour. She's so much fun. And she's, you know, she's quite the music lover too. She and her husband, they're adorable. So they're really fun to talk music with. And I love how supportive they are of local arts and everything. So I just wanted to tell you that she speaks very highly of you every single time I go in there and freak out over the sloth buttons. And, you know, you have something on your website that just totally cracked me up. I was reading it. I said, wait, let me find it. Recording a song is like getting a tattoo. You may move on or come to disagree with it, but you will never forget the experience around it. And I'm like, that's awesome. I love that. And I, you know, I've seen you with Folk Hogan. I've seen you play on your own, and you were just so much fun to watch play, because half the time I think, I don't know if you just made that song up or what you're doing, but you're hysterical. And then you do a lot of live Instagram videos of you just playing. And highly entertaining. I always watch them. And so if you're not following Nick Passy on Instagram, it's under Chip Passy, right?
Chips Passy.
Chips Passy.
We'll put links to all your Instagram and website and all that stuff over in the show notes to Talk Music to Me. It's talkmusictomeslc.com for episode 15.
Because I look up to you for being such a good live artist, because you're just playing all the time. And I love it because it's what you do. And you're very good at it. You did an acoustic version of a Bad Religion song that was super awesome. And
you did? Which song is it?
Yeah. Generator.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
That's a good one.
Like
good
I just, one. I just put it on my iPad and was listening to you play. I'm like, he's so good. So very impressed, my friend. Very impressed.
I've got I posted that one a few times, but I also there's a cover that I did of that, and it's on the banjo.
Oh no way!
I bet that sounds great on the banjo.
And I've had a this probably isn't like a shocker if you listen to my downer record or whatever, but I've actually had kind of a crazy last like month. I've had kind of a rough last month. Some stuff has happened. And one of the things that happened was, while I was out, staying at a friend's house, my apartment was broken into and a bunch of stuff was stolen.
I saw that.
And
I was like, no.
And it really, I was really lucky that they didn't get any of my instruments.
Oh, wow.
And so I thought, man, I gotta pull this banjo out and do something with it. but I've got a banjo that was my great grandfather's that was passed from him to my mom. And she kept it locked away and never really played it as long as I've been alive and then she gave that to me on my 28th or 29th birthday.
Oh, that's awesome.
And along with some of the history behind that. And I just, you know, I just thought, like, this is, you know, obviously it's a family heirloom at this point. It's not the most insanely valuable banjo, but it's very old and very irreplaceable.
Uh-huh.
Has a lot of sentimental value. And so I've actually taken it to a few gigs, and it's a four string, it's a tenor. And so, for guitarists out there, or people that can visualize this, it's the four high strings on the guitar.
Uh-huh.
So any guitarist, and you actually play it with a pick on like the five string banjos.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of just pick it up, and after about 10 minutes of thinking about, okay, I'm missing the top, the two low strings or the strings closest to you, you can kind of figure out guitar chords on it. And, And so it's pretty easy for a guitarist to pick that thing up and start playing on it.
So cool.
So it's just a natural, transition then. Is the banjo
really close?
In general, is the banjo, is it much different? I'm again, non-musician here, so this might be an incredibly stupid question, but is it much different than playing the guitar?
Yeah. It's not hugely different. It's not like it would be like going to like a saxophone.
But
most banjos have a shorter like fifth string, and the tuning peg is in the middle of the neck, and I think it's called the drone string, if I'm correct. But they're more picks with your fingers generally.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people use picks, finger picks that go on their fingers, but it's just kind of a different strumming process. And then the chord shapes are very different because the tuning is different. And so, you know, the tenor banjo is kind of the exception to that. And it's just, it's pretty easy to pick up and play. Other than the fact that banjos are very heavy sometimes.
Yeah, that's and it looks like it'd be so light too, but yeah, they're very heavy instruments. I want to talk a little bit more about the EP, and on your website, I love what you wrote about it. And this, I've been kind of dying to ask you these questions where you said it's a bum out record. And is there a little, because it seems like, okay. Let me get my thoughts right here. The one song I want to talk about is Non-Believer. I absolutely love that song. And I was listening to it, and to me, lyrically, it sounds almost like it's a positive thing. Because it's essentially about you being an atheist, you know, living in Salt Lake City, which is so heavily religious.
Oh, wait, there's a line. I'm just a non-believer in this God-infested town.
Yes, and that's how I feel, you know?
Me too.
That's exactly how I feel, because I'm definitely an atheist. And so it's, to me, lyrically, it sounds almost positive. Like, I don't need to be guided by something above. I'm okay. But sonically, there's a lot of minor chords, and it seems almost like a somber tone. Was that an intended irony, or am I just reading way too much into this?
You know, I don't know that it was intended, but it is ironic, because a lot of, you know, it's like there's a lot of happy sounding songs that I play that are actually kind of depressing and dark, and this one's kind of happy and it sounds a little bit more depressing and dark musically. You know, when I wrote that, I wrote the lyrics first, just kind of walking around Salt Lake City. And one of the methods that I very rarely use, and I don't know why, but because it's really interesting and effective, is writing lyrics to another song, to another tune that you're listening to, and then putting those lyrics on the shelf for a while, and then coming back to them and writing your own music to them. And that's one thing that happened with that song, is I wrote the lyrics, and it was going to be a little bit more upbeat. And it had kind of a pop-punky kind of sound to it. And I was going to present that to Folk Hogan, however, just the way that songwriting goes, it ended up being something that I scooped up for this, and it ended up very somber, and mostly just because that's how we planned in the studio to make it sound. We just thought, well, what if we had these kind of droning things in the background? And I think of this song as it starts out very small, and it grows slowly all the way to the end of the song. The other thing that we needed to do with those dynamics and the instrumentation is make it interesting, because it's a very simple four-chorded song that doesn't really have any huge melodic changes or rhythmic changes. So that interest needed to be built up in everything else. And so I think there's some percussion in there that's kind of orchestral in nature. And I touched on this earlier, but that's one thing that was really fun about recording this EP is that one of the questions some of my friends had asked me previous to hearing it is, you know, for acoustic guitar, especially if you go see me live, a lot of times it's me and acoustic guitar. And it's like, why don't you just do that on GarageBand at home? And, you know, I've got some recording experience under my belt. I could do that. But the actual production that goes into this is a big part of it for me. And actually kind of figuring out, taking these songs that could just be played singer-songwriter style acoustically and building them into this full band's kind of sound.
So you're kind of, you're teaching yourself along the way, kind of finding your own sound.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, and before, I want to, because learning about recording and that whole process is just fascinating to me. I just absolutely love it. So I want to talk more about that, but let's play that song if you don't mind. We'll play Non-Believer because this is my favorite track on the record for sure. I absolutely love it. So we'll play that real quick. We'll come right back with Nick Passy.
I'm just another non-believer, living in this God-infested town, trying to make my mark on the world, knowing there's nothing me on the ground, and I wanna live like this. If I knew it wouldn't be for so long, and I live my entire life through these words and song, don't have to answer to a master. Don't answer to a God when there's no one above you. You're just left with your own thoughts, and I live my entire.
So the record in general, you know, you were talking about how it, you could have easily done it on GarageBand at home, but it sounds much bigger. It sounds much more, I don't know, for lack of a better word, important, I guess. And I don't know if that's just the songwriting or the recording process, but, and Jess, you know, you mentioned that he's kind of discovering his sound. Is that a fun thing to discover your sound as you go along?
Absolutely. You know, if we went back and listened to the scratch tracks for this album, which is, I went in one afternoon, they put a mic on an acoustic guitar and a mic on me, and they gave me a click track at about the tempo that these songs were going to be. And I just recorded
And the whole process took, start to finish with conversations and drinking beers and everything, it took about 2 hours.
And, really?
That's impressive.
And that was, you know, what it took to throw 5 songs down. And then we took that and built from there. So if you went back and listened to those tracks and then you listened to the final album, I mean, the difference is like night and day. But if you had just heard those, if you just heard those tracks, on their own, just kind of raw, it wouldn't necessarily sound bad. I mean, even how quickly they mixed it and just threw that together to just bounce me a CD or, I guess none of us really use CDs that much to do that anymore, but Dropbox files, something like that. so that I could listen to it, you know, on my phone the next day.
It's gotta be so fun.
They don't sound bad on their own, but they're not the full band kind of idea, or they're not the whole thing. And so it's really fun to get in and dig in and produce that way, because especially when you're a solo artist, because no one's feelings are hurt when you decide, I don't want any drums on this. You know, you don't have a drummer looking at you.
You're like the freedom.
Yeah. There's a lot of freedom in that. Well, and so, I mean, there's a little bit of Rhodes kind of keyboard sound in some of the songs. And that's something that I have no intention of ever getting as a piano player.
Mm-hmm.
Or a keyboardist.
Well, it's nice because you don't have to be pigeonholed. If you wanna pivot and go in a whole different direction for the next record, you can do that. And there's no one who might be, you know, set in stone that we want to play this genre, we want to fit in this mold. You know, you can do whatever you want. And again, it's kind of what we talked about earlier, where it's freeing, but it's also got to be totally terrifying.
Well, I was gonna say, there's got to be those moments where you're sitting there going, "Hey, dude, can you?" Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, damn it, I got to do that too.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll get you out of here soon. But before we go, I'm just curious, are there any bands that you've been listening to lately that people should check out, or anything in particular, any records you've been enjoying?
I really like, you'll have to listen to Jeff Dylan that got me involved in all this. And he actually, fun story, Frank Turner's on his album.
Oh, no way!
Oh, really?
We just covered Frank Turner in our last episode.
I saw that in the feed, so that's what might have sparked my brain. But Frank Turner does backups on one of those songs.
That's so cool!
The last song on the EP. He's a big Frank Turner fan, and, you know, he's one of the people that follow him around for 5 or 6 shows anytime he comes to this side of the U.S. And so I really like Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Yes.
AJJ.
Yep. They're great.
I really like Homeless Gospel Choir, which recently was on tour with Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Like
and
the best
is
names
now
ever.
On tour with Frank Turner. So even though, you know, they all are very different artists, they're close enough. The album that I'm listening to the very most right now, or albums rather, are the 2 latest Propagandhi albums.
Oh, that new Propagandhi. I from the day I got it, it has not left.
I'm pointing at Alan. Every time I get in his car, I'm like, who is this? And he's like, it's Propagandhi. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Victory Lap is such a great record. Failed States is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Those 2 records are amazing.
Yeah. The actual song Failed States off of Failed States gets stuck in my head very often.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you haven't revisited Propagandhi since How to Clean Everything in 93, then it's time to listen to how their sound evolved. And that's definitely like when we think about what we want to do in the studio for Folk Hogan and how we want to make it sound heavier, that's always the first, you know, the first example that comes out of, well, listen to this, you know, listen to what they did with the guitars here.
And
really, it, the gold standard for what a punk band should sound like in the modern era.
I totally, totally agree, 100%. It's amazing that a lot of the time when a band changes so much, you have those people who just hate it, but it seems that they just get better with every record, and I have not heard of one person who's like, I just wish they'd go back to that pop punk stuff. Not one person ever.
I feel like when that moment happens, though, you guys are going to do like the slow turn, like, what?
Well, they have some songs that are kind of along those lines, but they, you know, it's just a totally different band now for sure. So we'll have everything you just talked about, all those bands you talked about, we'll have those in the show notes as well. To lead us out, is there a song in particular you want to play off the new EP?
Building Up My Tolerance to You.
Okay, we'll play Building Up My Tolerance to You. It's off, working through some shit. Tell us when it's out. It's out digitally right now, but the physical release is what, April 21st? Is that right?
So I have, in my living room, I have boxes from the Czech Republic full of the 12-inch vinyl records. It's a transparent blue disc, and it comes out April 21st, and you can order it right now on nickpassy.com. And there's also some packs, so if you want to get the poster and the shirt and the fridge magnet and all that cool stuff, I've got a lot of cool merch because that's something I love making. But definitely pick up the vinyl. And one other quick thing, when we were recording this song, we wanted a out of tune, poor quality guitar in the beginning, and for that to slowly fade into the nice sounding, better polished guitar. And we were mistuning different guitars in the studio, and we just couldn't get that sound. And so Steve, that owned the studio, threw his jacket on and put his sunglasses on and said, I'll be right back. I've got an idea. And we didn't really know where he was going. And I actually didn't find out until later the full story, but he just came back with this guitar. And it was a Rogue brand, which is like...
Oh, I know which ones those are.
they're super cheap.
Yeah,
they're
I had one.
Super poor quality.
Yeah, it really was.
And he just like held it to me and he's like, I think this is made out of plywood. And we like sort of tuned it, but not really. And so that's the, when you hear all the kind of barroom noise in the background and this out of tune, weird guitar, at the beginning of this song, that's actually what that guitar is.
That's awesome. It's the Rogue.
That is, I love
he
hearing.
He went rogue.
I love hearing stories like that. I love
too.
It. Love it. So, Nick, thank you.
And it's still sitting there in the studio, and it's the first one that everybody picks up when they walk in. And...
That's awesome.
So it's going to get worse, is what you're saying. It's going to get more worn out.
Yeah.
Well, this is Building Up My Tolerance to You off Working Through Some Shit. Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
This has been so
much fun talking to you.
Yeah, anytime.
I'm building up my tolerance to you. With every sip, you're my drug of choice, baby. You're my fix. But I'm building up my tolerance to you. I need more of you each passing day. But I'm not having any other way. Now you're the reason that I'm always tweaking. But I'm building up my tolerance to you. I wanna slam you in my veins and sewn you up until I go insane. And your love has got me all junk sick, and I can't seem to kick it. But I'm building up my tolerance to you. I wanna put you on my tongue, play another record
spun. I'm popping you like pills and skipping on the bills, but I'm building up my tolerance to you. Take another hit of you. Counting down the hours till the day is through. My head is pounding and my pulse is bounding, but I'm building up a tolerance to you. I'm building up a tolerance.
Supremely nice guy.
Oh, the best.
Great music.
The best. And no, he's so cute. So I sent him a message on Facebook and said, hey, is there anything that you specifically want me to say? And sorry, Nick, you said it, so I'm going to say it. He said, just tell them I'm single and looking for the love of my life. How cute is that?
You know what? I kind of wish I was a straight female right now.
He has the most beautiful sparkling beard. I'm just telling you now.
It is pretty epic.
He walked up to me at a farmer's market with a sparkling beard, and he said, Buzz Coffee Truck just gave me free coffee. And I kept telling him, I have a job. I can pay for it. How sweet is he?
He's going
to visit Jen at Olio. That's why his beard was so sparkling. He had the beard oil. And
God, I love that shit.
I know. I was hanging out with Jen. I was just leaving. And he goes, of course you're here. Of course you're talking to Jen. He's an amazing human. And we're going to post all the events that he has coming up. He did tell me he's got a lot coming up in July. And so I'm going to get the lowdown and then we'll post it.
And we're going to go too. So if you want to come to these shows, hit us up. Send us an email, talkmusictomeslc@gmail.com.
Yeah, come hang out with us.
If you're in the Salt Lake area, I always forget that most people aren't from Salt Lake who are listening
to the
show.
If you want to come to Salt Lake, come to a show.
So,
let us know.
In the Salt Lake area and you are heading to any of these shows, we will be there. Probably not all of them, but we'll be there at a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know. We'll meet up. I'll feed you some whiskey. And
just fair warning, he will.
I will.
I'm the wino. I'm the wino for sure. And I will make you giggle. It's just...
That's true.
I'll skip and I get very excited at concerts.
That's true.
That's just how I am.
Next episode, that'll be for us because we're talking about the boat.
Oh my God, the boat.
What we'll do is a very fair review. Like it won't just... We'll try to keep it not... We'll try and keep all the stories and all that stuff out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just try and be like... Here's what's good. Here's what's bad. Here's what you want to do.
Does
that make sense? Like a show review.
Yes. And we met a lot of amazing people. And
holy shit.
We walked onto the boat and I turned to Ellen and I said, oh my God, we just found our tribe. It was an entire boat of us's.
And we'll talk all about it. It's the only time in my life I felt completely comfortable.
And
for real.
To the Salties that are in Salt Lake, we love you. Yeah. We will see you at the shows.
I'd say we'd meet up at Frank Turner, but it's not going to happen.
I think we're still going to meet up. I got information.
Okay. All
right. But to anybody else, please go to the Nick Passy stuff. We're going to be at it. And his merch is incredible. And you'll hear, as you heard in the interview, He goes above and beyond on his merch.
Yeah, he really kicks ass. Orders. I mean, if you get a lot of people who listen to us are podcasters.
We're going
to
be ordering buttons from him.
They're in bands.
Yeah,
they're,
podcasts.
They're doing all this kind of stuff. You can
anybody.
He will do the merch for you. Go check it out. Buy his music. Buy Folk Hogan's music. I can't wait to hear that new
album. Oh my God.
I cannot wait.
And they're so good live. They are so fun.
Yeah, they are.
They are so freaking fun.
And as always, every single band we talked about, we encourage you to go out and buy their music. It helps support the artists. That's very, very important. Don't download this shit, man. It's so easy to do.
Go to the concerts, buy the merch, go say hi.
Go be a part of it. People who listen to this do that anyway.
I know.
I'm preaching the
choir,
hey, but
by
it's
the way,
very important.
To our people that listen to us and have missed us, we love you, and we've missed you too. We're so happy to be back. And to the people who are a little bit mad, send us an email. Let's talk about it. And
yeah. We'll
figure it out. You know what I mean? And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
You gonna play all by yourself?
You don't need anybody else.
That's not music, Martelli. That's masturbation.
Studio B Productions.